When the car reemerges around frame 225, Kennedy begins to react to being shot, bringing his fists up toward his throat. At that same instant, Connolly, whose head is turned slightly to the right, jerks it straight ahead and contorts his face. Connolly then begins to turn to his right, and his mouth is moving, apparently saying, "No, no, no," which he remembers shouting. As he is turning back to his left, it appears he may have been hit again as he collapses into his wife's arms. From the time the car disappeared behind the sign to when it reappeared is approximately 2 seconds. That would suggest a space of 2 seconds between the first and second shots, not enough time for someone firing a bolt-action rifle to make both shots. While the first shot could have come sooner, Kennedy shows no sign that anything out of the ordinary has occurred as the car disappears behind the sign. It suggests that the first shot came while the car was out of view. But a researcher named Bob Harris, who has produced a number of YouTube videos on the assassination, believes the first shots came much earlier, as the car was making the hairpin turn onto Elm Street and before Abraham Zapruder began filming. Harris believes 2 shots fired from a third-floor window of the Daltex building with a rifle equipped with a suppressor or silencer occurred as the limousine was in the midst of the turn. Both were misses. He believes a 3rd shot from this rifle, fired as the car emerged from behind the freeway sign, hit both Kennedy and Connolly. Even if Kennedy and Connolly were hit by the same bullet, does that mean that one bullet caused all the wounds? The Warren Commission said it did. It said a fully intact bullet was recovered at Parkland Hospital on or near the stretcher that had been used to carry Governor Connolly. Ballistics tests suggest that it had been fired from the Mannlicher Carcano rifle, which was found hidden among some boxes on the 6th floor of the Texas Schoolbook Depository building. Again, the commission was left with no choice but to conclude that this bullet, in near pristine condition, caused all the wounds to the 2 men, including hitting bone in Governor Connolly's chest and wrist. Otherwise, how could it explain how the bullet got there? Either it had to have fallen out of Connolly's thigh, or someone planted it. Initially, the doctors who treated the governor at Parkland Hospital bought into the single-bullet theory. But after they were shown the Zapruder film and the pristine bullet, they changed their minds. It is a matter of whether the wrist wound could be caused by the same bullet, and we felt that it could, but we had not seen the bullet until today, and we still do not know which bullet actually inflicted the wound on Governor Connolly, Dr. Robert Shaw told the commission on April 21, 1964. Shaw said he believed the bullet found on the stretcher likely did cause Connolly's chest wound, but not the others. Dr. Charles Gregory, who also treated Connolly, held even stronger doubts. I think that to pass through the soft tissues of the president would certainly decelerate the missile to some extent, Gregory testified. Having then struck the governor and shattered a rib, it is further decelerated, yet it has presumably retained sufficient energy to smash a radius. Moreover, it escaped the forearm to penetrate at least the skin and fascia of the thigh, and I am not persuaded that this is very probable. Even though they did not examine Connolly, the autopsy surgeons were also of the opinion that the single bullet could not have caused all the wounds and emerged in pristine condition. Yet, when it wrote its report, the Warren Commission found all the evidence indicated that the bullet found on the governor's stretcher could have caused all his wounds. Additionally, 2 bullet fragments found on the seat of the presidential limousine were also matched through ballistics to the rifle found in the minutes after the assassination. But while they contained traces of blood and tissue, the bullet found on the stretcher did not, and there may be a good reason for that. The man who found the magic bullet, Parkland Hospital orderly Darrell Tomlinson, insisted from the start that he didn't find a bullet on Governor Connolly's stretcher, as the Warren Commission reports. "The bullet was found here in this area," Tomlinson told CBS News, pointing to one of 2 stretchers next to a wall. "Not on that stretcher. That was the stretcher I took off the elevator and used by Connolly." The CBS News documentary, narrated by Walter Cronkite, was produced in the 1980s, so this information provided by Tomlinson is not anything new or the product of a changed story. Tomlinson, in fact, gave the same information to the Warren Commission in 1964, but it chose not to believe him, determining that he was mistaken. Not only did Tomlinson say the bullet found on the stretcher was unconnected to the assassination, he also said it was nothing like the pristine bullet found by the Warren Commission, Commission Exhibit 399. According to Harris, Tomlinson turned over the bullet he found to his supervisor, O.P. Wright. Wright then handed it to a Secret Service agent, Richard Johnson. Johnson said he gave it to his supervisor, James Rowley. Rowley said he then turned it over to the FBI, which sent it off to its lab. When the bullet returned from the lab as CE-399, not one of the four men who previously handled it recognized it. All four declined to say that it was the same bullet they had seen before it went to the FBI. The FBI told the Warren Commission that Agent Bardwell Odom interviewed Wright and Tomlinson, and although they didn't officially identify it as the same bullet, said it appeared to be the same. But years later, Odom denied he showed the bullets to anyone at Parkland Hospital and said he didn't think he had even seen the bullet. It doesn't stretch the imagination to conclude that a bullet totally unrelated to the assassination was transformed into one that had been fired from the murder weapon. But how? Harris's theory is that the FBI fired Oswald's rifle into a bale of cotton and retrieved the slug, planting it as evidence of Oswald's guilt. In other words, there was no magic bullet until authorities investigating the crime created one. If that is true, it might help explain why there is footage of one of Connolly's doctors briefing reporters at Parkland Hospital on November 22nd, saying the bullet that hit the governor was still lodged in his leg. What happened to that bullet? No one seems to know.